I'm thinking, you know, what would be good for a couple of minutes to discuss and mention to the people in the private group where you can say whatever you want. And I think what would be interesting to them, among other things, is what you see as the potential when people cooperate and how things could be turned around in spite of, I mean, even knowing the magnitude of what is dragging it down right now. Why do you feel optimistic about that, and any specifics that you want to suggest?
Well, first off, I think the truth will always be known sooner or later.
Right.
I also believe that only the truth can set us free.
Yeah.
So the longer it takes to get there, the more damage is done in between. And, you know, I'm well aware that people often are more comfortable in the lies than they are in the truth. I'm well aware of that. And it's unfortunate because the lies are bondage.
Right.
The truth is the only way that you can break those chains. And it's unfortunate that people are very often scared into paralysis, or and fear also includes just the fear that it's a futile situation. If that's what is causing the fear that it's futile, and that's resulting in paralysis, yeah. You know, then you've become a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the only people I've ever met who insist there's nothing that can be done are the people who refuse to do anything. That's the only one.
And they feel like that's reasonable because there isn't anything to do, right? That would work.
And by themselves, there's nothing they can do. By themselves, there's nothing I can do.
Well, you and they don't, I'm sure they would agree with you that if they had a whole bunch of really great allies that were ethical people, that would be a different situation. But they have no idea how to find any of those.
You know, the truth is self-evident, Richard. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah.
It's that most people are more comfortable not knowing the truth, unfortunately. I shouldn't say most. Many are not comfortable with the truth. They're comfortable not knowing the truth. But that, I mean, that's a kiss of death for them and everybody else around them. And
they're worried about finding out that things are worse than they thought.
Well, so what if they are? That just means we need to act more and quicker. That's all.
Yeah, we're just programmed to think that, well, that would just be terrible. I would just disintegrate from fear. And, you know, like the unknown, scary stuff, I guess. Normalcy.
Yeah, it is. And it's not that I don't understand that, you know. Again, you know, we both do what we do, people like me and people like that. We both do what we do out of fear. The difference is they're afraid to know and I'm afraid to not know. They're afraid to act and I'm afraid to not act. That's the only difference.
Okay.
We're both being motivated by fear.
Interesting. Yeah, I would... I think your you know, how you decide to respond to something intimidating makes a big difference. And I would say that there are also ways to get rid of fear, which is a whole other big discussion. We talked about that before a little bit.
Well, you're going to have to teach me how to do that because I don't know how to do that. But what I do know is that courage is not the absence of fear. It's the willingness to overcome it.
Right. It depends what your intent is.
Yes.
And certainly most of the people fighting for good causes are not free from fear at all. They've just decided that what to respond with, you know, how to respond.
I look at this situation and I go, I've got nothing to lose. If we do nothing at all as a country and as a people, I know how this turns out already. I already know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's only up from there for me. So whatever I can do to pull up from there, you know, is less risky than doing nothing.
One of the things that you had mentioned in the main show, which will be a week ago now when we're talking here, is that your group, the North American Law Center, has already pulled together some people with unusual levels of character and ethics and willingness to cooperate for a good end with each other. Can you say anything about how you did that? Because most people that, you know, when they start to find out more and more about what's going on, I constantly hear them saying, I don't know anybody else anymore that would have any idea what I'm talking about if I start, you know, saying what's important to me. How did you overcome that and start collecting good people?
Well, I was writing columns long before I formed anything.
Okay.
And so over time, I had a lot of people that were following my columns a lot more than today, because I've been silenced a lot in recent years.
Right.
Compared to, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And so, but I had a very sizable following 10 years ago, or, you know, five or six years ago.
Right.
And so I heard from a lot of people here and abroad through my writing, and I always just kept track of the ones that I knew, from my interactions with them, were people of great character, people with special talents, people who had a variation of experiences and levels of experience. Most of them, when we first formed this, it took 25 of us to form this when we started it all. And all 25 were exceptional individuals. And the same 25 that started this years ago are still the same ones that we have today, with the exception of those who have since passed.
Right. So, those were like your founders.
Those were our founders.
Okay.
And they are, in almost every case, highly decorated military, retired military, or extremely successful people in other realms, not always financially, but a lot of times they were very successful in pulling people together. They were very successful as an inventor or as a legal expert that did understand the Constitution, which probably is at the best maybe 1% of the legal profession today. Right. So they're very few and very far between and very hard to find. But when you do and you speak with them, you immediately connect. You immediately connect. And they want to work with us as much as we need them to work with us, because they too are looking for people like themselves. And so some of them were retired judges that were very conservative, very constitutionally grounded. Mm-hmm. Others were people like myself that were entrepreneurial spirited people who had done a lot of different things over the years and been a lot of different places over the years. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of different experiences and a lot of different ways to look at what was going on. I'm also a 30 plus year historian. So some of them were other historians. Some of them were my history mentors, actually. Two of them were mentors of mine in studying history.
Wow, that's interesting.
One of which, the most recognized and regarded historian, American historian for American history, anytime in the 20th or 21st century, who has since passed, but his students remain my mentors today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, it's, I would say that negatively oriented rulers of the country would agree with you, because they make it a point not to teach real history anymore.
They do. And even his son and I are still in contact and relatively close. Now, he's not one of our founders, but he came to us after he saw what we were doing. And he said, you know, I want to support what you're doing, because what you're doing is right and it's the right way to do it. And it's what my father spent a lifetime studying and teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm referring to Cleon Skousen, who is.
Right. Yeah. His nephew has been on our show numerous times.
Yes. So it was an interesting collection of people. I just went to them and said, hey, I think we need to be doing something. And they all agreed. And I said, well, we need to form something so we can work together.
Right.
So we did. And like I said, the same 25 are still the same today, with the exception of those who have passed.
Yeah. It sounds exciting. I definitely want to be more in touch with you. And I think, you know, that's what we're trying to do in the private group that you're talking to give people some sense of support of others that have similar openness to learning and upgrading themselves primarily, because the more you work on yourself, the more you're able to contribute. And it sounds like
you guys
are doing a similar thing.
So. Well, and we do work on ourselves, and we hold ourselves accountable, and we hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what was wrong with it's over the last 10 years or so is there were, you know, anybody who's accomplished an accomplished thing is likely to have some sort of ego about them, you know?
Sure.
And I don't deny that I do too. I like being able to accomplish things. I don't really care who gets credit for it. Most of what we do, by the way, we mean nobody other than the people we're working with directly even know it's us doing it.
Right.
Which always has made it hard to raise funds, by the way.
Exactly.
Because we don't ever go out there beating our own drum, you know?
Yeah.
And we do that because we can be more effective that way. Especially if we're dealing with a senator or a representative somewhere that's trying to accomplish something, and they're, you know, they're working against City Hall to do it. And, right. And so if they think it's coming from us or some other organization like ours, well, then that becomes very easy to attack, you know,
right. Yeah.
But if they think it's the original work product of their fellow colleague, well, then that's a little bit more difficult to, you know, for people to attack.
Right. Exactly. Well,
and so,
sounds worth investigating for anybody that's interested in working together to bring things back to sanity, you know, as quickly as possible. Because you mentioned in the beginning that eventually things will work out well sooner or later, but there's a big difference between sooner and later.
And yes,
I think sooner is better. Just my preference.
Well, yeah, it's like anything else. I mean, when you know something is wrong and something is going the wrong direction, the sooner you correct, the less damage is done in that process. It's like the difference between catching cancer at stage one or stage four.
Right.
You know,
right.
Your odds are of beating cancer are, you know, much improved at stage one than it is at stage four.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Okay. So, well, that sounds great, and I want to stay in closer touch with you. And anybody that's interested should go to TNALC.org, the North American Law Center.org, and just talk to you through the contact form, right?
Yeah, there's essentially, you know, if they go there and you can get to us through the contact form, but you can, you know, people who go there and make a contribution, they automatically go into the group that receives everything automatically. Doesn't matter whether it's $5 or $500, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter at all. And at times we've had people go, well, shouldn't I have more access or more power in the organization because of how much I give? And we go, well, I can't give you more access or more power. All I can do is take access and power away from somebody who only gave $5 so that you'll feel
right.
better about it.
Which I'm not going to do.
Which I'm not going to do.
Talking about perpetuation of rule by the elite.
Exactly. And, right. and over time we've had people that said, well, if I don't get anything special, then I'm not doing it. Okay. Then don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Wait until you understand the value.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it sounds great. So hold on and we'll say goodbye in the break here again.
Okay.